Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We will get back into the Ty Simpson conversation a little bit later in the show. A lot of different thoughts on that. A lot of different thoughts on that on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Yeah, like real quick, you know, Tyrus1975 on the YouTube chat says, what reason would Simpson have for leaving Alabama for UT? I mean, I think we just explained all that. But if you weren't listening, it's possible that, first of all, it's most likely of all things that Simpson goes to the NFL. It's also possible that Alabama is ready to move on to Keelan Russell. I would call that a gamble. But word is, you're talking about a special player. And if you're that special, again, Bryce Young was ready year two, and he was great.
Yep.
C.J. Stroud was ready year two, and he was great. So that does happen.
It does happen, no doubt about it. So we will keep our eyes out for any news on that front. The Titans deep into the head coaching search now. Lots of names being connected to the Titans in terms of potential interviews, whether that's Raheem Morris, Lou Anarumo, Steve Spagnuolo, obviously Matt Nagy that we talked about yesterday, and Joe PK putting it out there that the first two in-person interviews for the head coach position are set, with Kevin Stefanski visiting on Saturday and Raheem Morris coming in on Sunday with the Tennessee Titans. So you're talking about two head coaches that were just fired in Stefanski and Morris that the Titans are taking a look at. So a lot of different names that have been thrown out there. We talked about Cliff Kingsbury earlier that's been connected as well. A lot of names to sort through right now for the Titans, but two in-person interviews coming up this weekend with Stefanski and Morris. And again, the Stefanski part of this, and it's not just the Titans either. Like, a lot of these openings, whether it's the Giants, the Falcons, whoever, there's a lot of conversation on the Stefanski front right now. And the reaction is pretty much the same all over, which is there are some people that love the idea of Kevin Stefanski being the head coach of the Titans, or if you're a Falcons fan, the head coach of the Falcons, and there are some people that do not like that at all. Very, I don't know if he's like Matt Nagy level polarizing, but it's polarizing on the Stefanski front with Titans fans right now.
Yeah, and if you're a Titans fan who's down on him, you have a right to yell at a Titans fan who's like, drop everything else, this is the guy. It's not like there are no questions about Stefanski. When losing happens, even though we can look at certain things that are not his fault, but still, when that happens, you still have to, it's on the coach's record, you still have to wonder, you know, what happened there. Did he lose? You know, did he lose his grip in the locker room? Whatever, schematically, did he fall behind? I mean, these guys are constantly updating, copying each other, trying to figure the next thing out to beat each other on both sides of the ball. So those are all fair questions. But let's remember that, like, when Vrabel was fired here a couple years ago, it was the same thing. I mean, they did go 6-11, guys, and they did lose, what was it, 18 of the last 24
under
Vrabel?
Yes.
Okay. How was none of that on Vrabel? And I'm not saying that there wasn't anything on Vrabel. There was. He made some mistakes. Gentry has said it earlier. But where is he now? He's a good coach. And, by the way, Vrabel was a little helper for Stefanski not too long ago.
Yeah.
I think Stefanski's a good coach. So I think the Titans should absolutely be serious about Kevin Stefanski. And if they are, they will not be the only team in this league serious about thinking about hiring Kevin Stefanski.
By the way, Ian Rappaport put it out there that the Titans will be speaking with Lou Anarumo tomorrow. So Anarumo speaking with the Titans tomorrow. And then as PK put out there, Stefanski in person Saturday, Morris on Sunday. So busy times for the Tennessee Titans. And Joe, the other part of this is, are there any other coaches that shake free today? I mean, I know we call it Black Monday, but I mean, look, the Titans have made some moves before on Tuesday. We've talked about that before. Diane Russini put it out a few minutes ago, and it's worth keeping in mind that, like, you know, this time of year, moves aren't really made in a vacuum. And what she said was some teams are waiting to see how the coaching market shakes out and who could become available before making moves of their own. So we very well could not see, or probably have not seen, the last of the coaching moves that have been made.
Well, and the way I interpret that is there's some teams waiting to see if John Harbaugh shakes free.
Yes, exactly.
And if he does, see it. Who would be the most likely?
I kind of thought Tampa would have moved on from Bowles after the way this season went. Yeah. Although he did sign an extension, but the whole back half of the season was just terrible.
They were brutal.
They were. Now, Baker was hurt again this year, and Baker was kind of brutal.
Yeah, he was turning the ball over like crazy in the back half.
I thought he showed a lot of guts, you know, down the stretch, but also, like, there's no question that affected him. But, yeah, Bowles is a possibility. There's been some talk about Aaron Glenn with the Jets, even though it's been one freaking year. I mean, we just talked about their amazing season. Who else out there might
I mean, could safe,
potentially.
Right?
Yeah, Zach Taylor's coming back.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Colts will never fire anyone again. So Steichen and Ballard back in there with the Colts.
I love that last week. There was like a friend of the show, Jordan Rodriguez, did a great story on Carly Ursay Gordon. But like there was a lot of interpretation out of it. Like, oh my gosh, she is setting everybody up to get rid of these guys. And it's like, no, they were told last week they're good.
Yeah.
Chris Ballard, lifetime deal. You're good, buddy. No problem. Everything's fine.
Yeah. And also, you know, adding to that, Mike McDaniel looks like he's safe down there in Miami.
Going to be part of the GM search, he says.
Yeah. I mean, there was a point halfway through the year, Joe, where it was basically a foregone conclusion that he was going to get fired. And then they end up going 7-10, and they moved on from Tua. And apparently Mike McDaniel going to have some say on who comes into the GM.
I'm telling you right now, especially because Stephen Ross is a freak. He's one of the biggest freaking goofball owners ever in sports. I'm telling you, if John Harbaugh becomes available, Mike McDaniel will be given a bus ticket that day. I swear to you. Thanks, Mike. Bye. Someone remove Mike from the premises. I mean, if that happens, like someone is going to do something that they said they weren't going to do.
Yeah.
To try to get him.
Yeah.
But that's what's really interesting. Lamar Jackson gets asked. Granted, after the game, but like, do you want to be back quarterback? You know, guys, I'm trying to process this. There's gonna be.
It's a very easy question he was asked to just say yes to. Of course, I do.
Exactly, and so is it not like are those two like? Is that just? Is it not? Can they not move forward? Like, I'm sorry, man. People can say whatever they want about Lamar Jackson. You know, in the playoffs or whatever. I mean, I watched him throw a perfect pass. His freaking tight end dropped in the end zone last year at Buffalo after an incredible drive in an incredible game. I'm a believer in Lamar Jackson. And as much as I love John Harbaugh as a coach, I think he's a great coach. I guess the injury thing is the one question, though, with Lamar Jackson. But I think I'm still, if I'm having to choose there, I'm choosing the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it goes. Like, if he shakes free, are there jobs out? Are there teams out there right now that would just go ahead and fire their coach, even without an assurance of bringing him in? Like, you know, I think about it would be a very Jerry Jones thing, right? Of like, John Harbaugh breaks free and he's like,
yeah.
"All right, we'll see you later. Come on in. Let's get John Harbaugh down here." I mean, it would be a very Jerry Jones thing to do. I mean, Miami for sure. I'll tell you this. One to watch. I know that he's quote unquote safe, but like if John Harbaugh broke free, the idea if I'm him of going to coach Joe Burrow would be pretty intriguing to me. And if I'm the Bengals, like I would probably be like, all right, Zach, I like you. Glad that it looks like things are going to be going well for you and the continuity and all those things. But we said you were coming back. You're not coming back. We're bringing John Harbaugh in.
I could see it. And then they're going to find out John Harbaugh's salary demand, and then they're going to be like, Brian Callahan, are you available?
Yeah, we can't do that. Which, by the way, does he end up back on Zach Taylor's staff next year, you think?
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, some position or even an analyst job, something like that, yeah. Or somewhere. I mean, he has connections to other coaching trees in the league. So
shouldn't be worried about money. He's getting paid.
That is true. Amy loves paying people to not work. So there's four coaches, Robbie, that I still want to see them interview.
Okay.
And I'm for even more than that. Now, I understand at this point I'm asking them to interview half the world. But I've already said it earlier in the show. I think it's crazy not to interview Brian Flores. Lawsuit, all that understood. If you're interviewing these defensive coordinators, the best defensive coordinator of the game right now is Brian Flores.
Yes.
I mean, he is. They don't have overwhelming talent. There's some good players on that defense. That he's the best DC in the game. Robert Saleh, he's been my number one. I mean, I'll be blown away if they don't take a run at him. I'd also, since we're on the DC thing, I think Chris Shule is a really intriguing guy. D coordinator for the Rams. You look what they've done. They've added some really good young talent in the last couple of years, but like he's good. Grandson of Don. And also Joe Brady. I think Joe Brady should get a look. I'd like to see a little bit more of the unknown young. I think you got to have some of that in the interview process. I would like to see those four guys interviewed.
I think that's a good list. I mean, I think there's a likelihood you will see those four guys interviewed. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More your reaction to get to on the Titans, the open head coaching position, and the search that is underway. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, The Game.
It's early, but there's been a lot of activity for Kevin Stefanski, and I would imagine he can interview for all of the jobs that are going to be available and will have that opportunity to do so. He's an offensive coach in a year where there doesn't seem to be many young offensive coaches being on the market, ones that are being coveted after. There's no Ben Johnson. There's no Mike Vrabel this year. It is a dearth of names as far as big ones go. Clint Kubiak would be the next name up in Seattle, but I believe Kevin Stefanski will get to interview at all these spots and most likely will have an opportunity to take one of these jobs. Another name that's not being mentioned as much is Jeff Hafley, defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers, who I've had multiple teams mentioned to me. Hafley, of course, was the coach at Boston College for 3 years, so he has head coaching experience in the college level and has now been the coordinator in Green Bay, and they were having a wonderful season before some of these injuries, including Micah Parsons. Season's not done, but I would keep an eye on Jeff Hafley to get several interview opportunities.
That's Peter Schrager from ESPN. We're taking your thoughts on the coaching search for the Tennessee Titans. By the way, Joe, quickly some news to pass along in the NFL. Matt Eberflus has been fired by the Dallas Cowboys as defensive coordinator. So if you saw their defense this year, not very good. Now, take away Micah Parsons from a defense, it does not help, but not very good defense. And Eberflus out the door in his first year as defensive coordinator with the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, just paving the way for whoever John Harbaugh wants as his DC.
Oh, boy. Schottenheimer, we'll see you later, buddy.
Yeah, that he's definitely like a placeholder head coach like Dave Campo. It's like, okay, if I can get somebody good, you're out, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Trevor asking this, forgive me if we already discussed this, in what order do you rank your open jobs? I think minus ownership times would be intriguing. Stadium, I don't know. Do coaches care about the stadium? The young franchise quarterback, no income tax. Yeah, people want to live in Nashville. I mean, I will say that. I would put Nashville as a place to live over, like, a new stadium. The QB is the hard part, Trevor, for that for me is I think it's a beauty in the eye of the beholder with the quarterback more than anything.
Yeah.
And also it's like it's how much the eye of the beholder – is concerned about ownership. Those two things, I think, would make this job rank for various candidates quite differently from one to the other, potentially.
By the way, real quickly, Matt Nagy interviewing with the Titans on Thursday as well. So tomorrow for the – or excuse me, Thursday for the Titans will be Nagy. Wednesday is Lou Anarumo. Stefanski Saturday. Morris on Sunday is the current schedule of interviews for the Tennessee Titans that we have. I mean, so there are six jobs currently open. You got the Titans open, the Falcons, the Giants, the Browns, the Raiders, and the Cardinals. Joe, I would probably rank the Cardinals last. Like, I think the Cardinals, number one, you're moving on from Kyler. There's not a whole lot to work with there. And you're in the NFC West, which does not help. I mean, you got Seattle, the Rams to deal with, the Niners to deal with. So I would probably put of the six that are open right now, I think I would rank the Cardinals last. I'd probably put Cleveland right in front of them at five because it's Cleveland. And I understand you got Myles Garrett, but you got a GM that I don't think is very good that's somehow holding on to his job. You got the Jimmy Haslam ownership situation there. So to me, those two are clearly five and six. And then from the Falcons, the Giants, the Titans, and the Raiders, I mean, you can put together any order you want to put together. I mean, look, I know the Raiders have been an absolute dumpster fire for a long time at this point. They do have the number one pick coming up. They have Brock Bowers in the fold. They have Ashton Jeanty in the fold. And we'll see what ends up happening with Max Crosby here too. So I know it's the Raiders. I know they're looking for another head coach again. And Tom Brady going to be involved in that search. I think those four, to me, you could put in any order you want to. I think Browns and Cardinals clearly the worst.
I will say on the – yeah, I would agree. I would say on the Raiders and Falcons front, if I'm a coach looking at the Raiders, you start with ownership, but all the losing, all the negativity, are you excited about Brady and his role, or is that a concern?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I would be more excited about Brady in the role than I would be just letting Mark Davis do it, whatever he wants to, right? Like, I understand it, at the end of the day, it's his decision anyway. But if he fully trusts Brady to make the decision, I would probably rather have that than him just flying by the seat of his pants, which we've seen him do.
That's fair. And then you go to the Falcons and this weird structure they're talking about with, you know, separate searches all funneling to Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Again, guys, Matt Ryan's a smart guy. Tom Brady's a smart guy. They were great players. But I hate as an NFL fan this you can be an announcer, talk about the whole league, be involved with the whole league, but you're working for a team. Well, I hate that. But even as a coach or somebody in an organization, I don't know. I'm not necessarily excited about guys like that having these roles without doing anything in personnel ever.
Well, and beyond that, like, to me, there's even a difference between the Brady and the Matt Ryan stuff. I mean, say what you will about Brady being an owner and still doing the broadcast, all right? At least from like a time commitment standpoint, like, Brady's not in the Raiders building every day, right? Like, he's not walking around in the Raiders building every day going through like team meetings with him. I would assume, Joe, that if Matt Ryan is like essentially being brought in to run the Falcons, I mean, don't you kind of have to be there like all the time? So, like, are you going to have time to do a broadcasting job on top of the job that you're already doing with the Falcons that I would assume is a pretty darn time-consuming job? Like, that part of it to me just doesn't make any sense.
And like I don't – I guess I just don't even understand from the perspective of the – I mean, with Brady, he's obviously a megalomaniac, so, you know, I guess I get it from his perspective. He wants to do everything, make all the money, and, you know, just have every job. But, like, if you're Matt Ryan, like, why is it so important to keep doing TV? If you're going to be all in, man.
Yeah.
This is a huge job. Or if you want to do TV,
You can double dip, right? You get paid for both.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, and I understand it's all relative, but.
And it feels
the money's pretty good. The guys have made pretty good money in their lives.
Think the players feel bad saying no to the owners that, like, propelled them throughout their entire career? You know, like the Colts did this with Jeff Saturday and their former players, their former owners, these old owners especially, fall in love with like these former players who brought the good old days and for whatever reason, like, cannot move on. Bring them back, Matt Ryan, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, if he's taking that job to be nice to old Arthur Blank, then it's a complete bleep show. There's no hope at all, right? I mean, if you're going to do that job, like, it is more than a full-time job. It's a big job. It's a hard job. You got to be all in. I don't. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about the perspective of the owners. I think definitely there's this. I mean, how many, you know, we heard during this coaching search, what about Eddie George for the Titans? People get enamored with the legend coming back, and it rarely works out. But, like, if you're Matt Ryan taking that job, how could you even think, yeah, I'm going to go do a little TV too? Really? Because you're running an NFL franchise.
Well, and how good's the job, like, from a head coaching perspective? Because on the one hand, you're in the NFC South. It's a bad division, as we just saw. Now, divisions in the NFL can flip pretty quickly, right? I mean, take a look at the AFC South. AFC South might be pretty halfway to decent division right now with Jacksonville and Houston doing what they're doing and the Colts before everybody got hurt. So we'll see on that front. But, like, I have no – like, is Michael Penix good? I have no idea. He's hurt all the time. I know that. So do you have your quarterback or do you not? What does that process look like? And if he's not good, are you going to be allowed as a coach and a GM, that combo coming together, to sift through that and go pick your guy coming up here in a couple of years. So there's that part of it. You know, the Giants, I think if you ask the Giants, they are encouraged by what they've seen from Jackson Dart this year. But Jackson Dart ends up in the injury tent every game because he can't protect himself. So is that going to change at some point? Like, it's these jobs are interesting from the standpoint of, like, when you're talking Raiders, Titans, Giants, and Falcons moving forward here, and you throw Browns in there too. How are you feeling about quarterback moving forward?
Right. And so, and what happens, I think some coaches look at it, I think some coaches would prefer to have their choice and be involved in the draft advisor, which is why you would potentially elevate the Raiders over yes. these other jobs, right? That's like, okay, I'm going to get to have a say. At least I can have a say in, you know, Mendoza, Moore, maybe someone else emerges as a possible top of the draft quarterback, as opposed to I'm coming in with this young QB, and I know the GM who's hiring me, his future is dependent on this QB making it.
Arizona is borderline. I don't know. That might be the worst job.
That's a bad job right now.
I saw the stat. I don't exactly remember, but the Bidwells have owned that team since the 30s, and they have only made the Super Bowl one time.
Yeah, it's there.
It's more than the Lions, by the way.
That's true.
That's a fair point. But I'm just saying,
they both suck, yes.
Where Arizona is and the lack of winning they have done and the no man's land they are in.
It's a bad job. Owner,
like, I think that Arizona job is a bad job.
Yeah, the Bidwells don't get enough credit for being terrible owners. Like, we have a texter from Arizona making that point to us.
Yeah, I think we might be a little bit underrating the fact that how bad of a franchise the Cardinals might be.
I mean, frankly, a lot of times I forget they exist. I'm like, oh, yeah, Arizona right. Cardinals. How about that? By the way, nice win for the Titans against them this year. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More thoughts on the coaching front to get to coming up next. Take your thoughts on some NFL playoff matchups as well. We'll go quickly through those. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, the playoff matchups are set in the National Football League. Denver, the one seed in the AFC, so they'll have the bye week. Seattle, number one in the NFC, so no games for them coming up this weekend. In the AFC, you will have the Patriots taking on the Chargers. Jacksonville hosting the Bills in what could be a special environment at the Milky Pool. And then Pittsburgh hosting the Houston Texans. That is the AFC slate coming up this weekend. In the NFC, Chicago and Green Bay coming up on Saturday night. Philadelphia in San Francisco, which might be, maybe, the best game of the weekend. And then Carolina hosting the L.A. Rams. So the Rams as the 5 seed, Joe. Get the privilege of going on the road to taking on the Carolina Panthers. Your thoughts on the playoffs this weekend. What game are you looking forward to the most? What game are you looking forward to maybe the least heading into this weekend?
Well, I guess I'll start with the second one. I mean, Rams-Panthers, I hope it's good. I have hopes. I hope the Panthers can hang in there. I'd like to know how many times, and maybe this is out there and I just missed it, but I'd like to know how many times a division winner hosting a playoff game was a double-digit underdog. Can't imagine it's been too many.
Not very many.
The Rams I'm seeing are minus 10, which I think is actually down from minus 10.5, which means a little bit of money on the Panthers. Mm. But, I hope it's good. That one, I think, might end up being like 27-10 Rams. The game I'm most looking for. So it's interesting, the 49ers Eagles one, as you mentioned, as a potential best game. I think you may be right. I heard D-Mace yesterday saying he thinks the Niners are just going to kick the Eagles' butts, which is really interesting. And he made the point of, you know, the Eagles have just, they just haven't, they've had this turmoil this year. The offense has been so disjointed and they just haven't put it together. And I agree with that. But I also think we are talking about a championship team. We're definitely talking about a championship defense. And I do think sometimes these teams, I think we've seen it with the Chiefs before. It's like once you start getting in this rotation, you're going to Super Bowls, you're winning a Super Bowl. Sometimes it is kind of like you light that fire. You have to preserve a little bit, and you light the fire in the postseason. You put all the crap aside that people were mad about in the regular season. and you play your best football. And if they do, I mean, I think they could win it all again. I really do. So I'm fascinated by that game. But I think my number one is Bills Jags. Maybe that's weird, but I just, man, I think the Jags are good. I'm sorry, but like I think they're really freaking good. And they are, again, as we talk about the Titans coaching search, just another example of, there's a lot of people on text line today, like, what about, Raheem Morris is a losing record or this coach or that coach? Why would you hire, this coach who has not been great? And again, it's like, well, good thing that somebody decided to do that after Bill Belichick's very underwhelming Cleveland Browns tenure with Nick Saban as his defensive coordinator, right? I mean, but the unknown is people are obsessed with it. Sometimes it works out. And Liam Cohen, 1 year, but man, how could you not be impressed? But then the Bills, they should be looking at this like, we should win. This is it. There's no Lamar Jackson. There's no Patrick Mahomes. There's no Joe Burrow. Like you, this is your year to go win the freaking thing, but they have to win in Jacksonville to even get that started. I think that's the best game.
Jags have won eight in a row, man. They've won eight in a row. They're hot heading into the playoffs.
Jags and Houston, both hot.
Jags and Houston, both playing well.
Do you want to lose one going in? Are you good with the winning streak going into the playoffs? Both teams? I guess so.
I mean, they're hot. They're hot. And look, Jacksonville, I think people have struggled to get there with Jacksonville, Joe, because they won't allow themselves to trust Trevor Lawrence. And I understand that because I'm probably in the same camp. Like, to me, this is when we're going to find out about Trevor Lawrence. But the fact is, he's played extremely well this year. Like, he has been, particularly the last 10, 11 weeks of the year, he's been really, really good. So, am I willing to just automatically say that this is – some turning of the corner for him in his career? I don't know that I'm willing to go there yet, because he still every now and then will throw an interception where you're just like, oh boy, I don't know what he was doing there. But the bottom line is he's played really well heading into this game. So, I mean, if you're a Buffalo fan, can you imagine if you get the, like, telling a Bills fan before the year that you're going to get in the playoffs and you're not going to have to contend with Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, or Joe Burrow? And if they still get put out in like the first round, man, how disappointing would that be?
Yeah, no question. I actually heard Big Joe yesterday when they had John McClain on, asking John basically like if they don't do it, like how do you assess their window? And I generally agree with John's basically like, I mean, the window, like they have Josh Allen, they have a few deficiencies. That unfortunately, like they're running the ball now, but they can't stop the run.
Yeah.
It seems like with the Bills, it's like, oh, you plug this hole and here's another leak springs up. I would tend to agree. Like, I wouldn't declare any window closed there, but it's just this is a year because I'm sorry. Like I think you and I disagree on Chargers Patriots. I think the Patriots could be in for a hell of a game there. And also, it's hard for me to buy that they're going to make this run, like snap the fingers, first year of Vrabel, second year, but really a first good year of Drake May. I don't buy it. And so I look around the league. I guess I'm having a hard time buying the Broncos too, because of their offense. I don't know if the Bills can really ask for a better overall picture. It's just that they are playing the hottest team. And to Ian's point, yeah, I do think sometimes it's good to lose one, but I think it's better, especially if you are on the winning streak and then you have a bye. That's where you really worry, right? Like they get to keep it rolling and then playing right away. I think this could be as tough a test as the Bills have, as crazy as that may sound. Maybe I'm too much of a Jags homer all of a sudden, but like if they can get past this test, I think I really like them to get to the Super Bowl.
I mean, it is kind of amazing in the whereas four teams in the league this year that have 13 wins or more. I mean, you got Denver at 14, Patriots at 14, Jacksonville at 13, and obviously Seattle on the other side with 14. That's you don't get that every year. I mean, there are some years where, like, 12-5 will put you in first place in your conference, and there are four teams this year that have 13 wins or more.
Well, when the Titans were the one seed just 4 years ago, by the way, weren't they 12-5?
Yes.
Yeah. 4 years. Just 4 years.
God, that's hard to It's hard to imagine.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Hard to really think back to on that front. I mean, look, I'll tell you a game that I guarantee you will be a good game. I have no idea which way it's going to go. I mean, Chicago-Green Bay is going to be a great game. It's been a great game both times they played this year. It'll be a great game again. I have no idea which way that one's going to go. None.
No, I'm with you, and I know that this is a the heartstrings are being pulled on this. I'm expecting more trash talk between you and Ryan from Chicago.
We'll get there.
Maybe Michelle can jump in there, talk a little trash too. She does not have to become a Bears fan. I implore her, do not be a Bears fan. You can, you just because your boyfriend's a Bears fan, you don't have to be a Bears fan. Just saying.
That's true.
But I think it's a really fascinating game, and I like the Packers. I just like the Packers. Maybe it's like the cliche of the three times, a little bit of a cliche. It does happen.
Yeah.
Titans fans can tell you. Jags fans can tell you. It does happen when people don't think it's ever going to happen. But, man, I just I don't like the Bears. I know the Lions only scored 19 on them, but the last two times out I've watched the Bears defensively, they're not good. And I just – and then Caleb Williams, great talent. I'd take him as my quarterback. But also, he also misses stuff sometimes. It's like, how could you miss that? And I just feel like the Packers are due a bounce, and that's probably what that game will come down to.
One texter says, it's good to have a Duval homer on the program. They don't call him old Jacksonville Joe for nothing. Big Duval guy in Rexrup.
Duval.
They're going to win the freaking Super Bowl, aren't they? And then we're never going to get rid of that of those two idiots ever. I mean, you got Cohen with the Duval stuff and their 13-year-old general manager, and they're going to win a Super Bowl without Travis Hunter even playing.
Hunter is who we've been hunting up.
Like, if that's, I guess it's almost the same thing you flip it around the Bills. Like, if the Jags get by the Bills, then maybe. I mean, watch out. I will say we haven't talked about them yet in this segment, but I really think the Texans could make a run. I
that
do.
Defense is legit, wins, man.
Yeah, the defense wins championships thing has been debunked, but also, like, sometimes defenses are the biggest thing in winning championships. For people who don't remember, they want to misremember this. When the Bucs won it all, Brady was great. He did a great job, but like that defense and what it did to Patrick Mahomes, and granted, a bad offensive line, but the defense was incredible. And just like I think the Eagles, their defense could possibly carry them, even if their offense stays a little bit, kind of hit and miss. Ah, man, the Texans, that defense is salty. I think that's a game. I mean, again, I want them all to be good. I'm not sold on that game being very good.
Some context, Joe, to your question earlier about the Panthers being double-digit dogs against the Rams. Let's see, the Saints were 10-point favorites against Seattle during the Beastquake touchdown.
Yeah, Seattle won that game. Yeah.
And Seattle won.
Yeah.
So they came back. So I don't know. Maybe there's a chance there for Carolina.
So is that the only one you found?
Double digits, from what I could tell. Yeah. There's been
that's a great example of the home team shocking everybody and still winning that game against Drew Brees and a loaded Saints team.
Yeah. Other than that, it's hard to find too many. There's Broncos, the Tebow one to Demaryius Thomas, I believe, might have also been that. Pretty big spread on that one. 7.5 points. But I don't see too many double digits.
Gonna be interesting to see what Carolina does this weekend in that game.
They beat the Rams, by the way, already.
They
just
did.
For the record.
They did.
So
we'll see.
Let's hope it's a game.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Final thoughts on the Titans coaching search. Final thoughts on the Ty Simpson situation that we discussed earlier in the show. We'll get back into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joe, we played some comments earlier in the show from Chris Lowe that have made their waves across Vol Twitter and across college football. This is what Chris Lowe had to say on the Ty Simpson front on the Rocky Top Insider Lowdown Show with Bob Bakersville and himself. This is Chris Lowe on what the future could hold for Ty Simpson.
But I also don't think you want to go into next year playing a kid who's never played. And granted, McIntyre's been on campus for a year. I still think physically he needs to get bigger and stronger. So I think without question, Tennessee's combing the portal for a quarterback. And the one that's most intriguing, and Bama fans and Tennessee fans are going to sit up straight when I say this, is Ty Simpson. I do not believe Ty Simpson will be back at Alabama next year. I think he's gone. I think it's either he's going to the pros and going, you know, entering the draft, or I think he's going to go into the portal. Now, he's, you know, Ty's been around for a while. He's a pretty savvy kid. His dad, Jason, is a coach. So they're not going to do anything without talking to the right people and talking to people who know, I think, most importantly, Bob, a Tennessee kid who I think was interested in coming to Tennessee. There was that transition between Pruitt and Heupel, so it was sort of a weird time. I think there were other times during his career at Alabama where he might have thought about transferring, and Tennessee was in his thoughts. It just didn't happen. But I think this time, if he doesn't decide to transfer, and I think the thing that this will – his decision, in my mind, will hinge on simply this. If he gets the kind of feedback from pro people that he is a first-round draft pick, I think he's gone. I think he'll go to the NFL. And you know what? He probably should. He got hit a lot this year. He took a lot of hits, got hit a lot, and this was his fourth year on campus. If he gets from NFL GM scouts, yeah, you're the third quarterback in the draft. We think you're going to go somewhere between 15 and 25. I think he's gone. If it's not – If that feedback, Bob, is not that emphatic about, well, maybe you slide into the second round, then I think he's going to look seriously at transferring. And I think if he does, I think he lands in Tennessee.
So that was Chris Lowe, Joe. Obviously, some interesting stuff there on the Ty Simpson front. We kind of bounced back and forth some different thoughts on that earlier in the show. There's the Keelon Russell situation at Alabama with being a highly touted five-star quarterback. There's Simpson and his own future in terms of the NFL, which has not been decided yet. And as Lowe points out there, if he's first-round pick, probably would make sense for him to just go ahead and go to the NFL when you look at the whole picture right now. But, I mean, Chris Lowe said it. He said, you know, if it's not the NFL, he doesn't think he's going back to Alabama, and that Tennessee would be the spot that Chris Lowe would have Simpson at for next year, which obviously has made its waves on Vol Twitter. So, Joe, when you hear all that, when you look at the Ty Simpson situation, what do you think about where this thing is right now?
Yeah, I might put it like 80-20 NFL. I don't know if he's going to get that the assurance that Chris Lowe laid out there. I think if he did get that, like, you're the third guy, and so you're back half of the first round almost for sure. I think that's a gimme. He's gone. I think it's possible that just being even if it's like you're going to be high second round at worst, he might still go. But look, I mean, you got Chris Lowe. I mean, I'm sold on him not going to Alabama or not coming back to Alabama. And apparently, the Keelon Russell thing is the primary factor there. I think it's crazy if Kalen DeBoer is just like, yeah, we got to go to Keelon next year, if Ty Simpson would want to come back. Now, remember also a couple things we talked about earlier. One, you don't want to lose Keelon Russell. That's a reality. If you think he's that special a talent, but also, like, if you're Kalen DeBoer, can you afford another four loss season next year?
Right.
At Alabama? Now, but the flip side of that, if you're Kalen DeBoer, you're also looking at Ty Simpson. It's like, okay, more likely than not, he is going to the NFL. So I have to focus on the next guy, right? That's where it gets in. When you have somebody who's not totally sure on one thing, and then it gets in, sometimes the other side has to be like, okay, well, I just have to commit to this other direction. And if that's the case, you look at all the quarterbacks who are already signing up at other places, and it's there's not many spots I can think of that would make sense. Josh Heupel built a relationship with the family. After the whole thing with Jeremy Pruitt, Jason Simpson was going to go be the QB coach under Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt's like, hold on now. Oh, the NCAA is on my ass. And, you know, basically that was that. So Jason stayed as UT Martin's head coach. But Josh Heupel built a relationship. You listen to Lowe in that clip, you know, you can tell, because I know there were a couple times Simpson nearly transferred, that Tennessee was probably a prominent possibility. We also know Tennessee and Vanderbilt and Alabama are all recruiting Graham Simpson, little yep. brother who's going to be a big-time prospect. I mean, look, if I'm 80-20, most of that 20 is probably Tennessee. I mean, that's not nothing.
It's not nothing. And again, like I would assume that we're going to find out here pretty shortly on the Ty Simpson front in terms of what his future kind of looks like here. And Joe, if it's not Simpson, I mean they're running out of options in the transfer portal when it comes to quarterback right now. I mean, you know, most of these guys have found new deals and or are in the process of negotiating new deals in the portal right now. And your quarterback room at the moment for next year is Faison Brandon and George McIntyre. The Joey Aguilar thing is still kind of up in the air. But look, I don't know how to assign a percentage to it. My guess was it's pretty low that Aguilar is going to be back next year for them at quarterback. So if it's not Simpson, you start to wonder who in the world the target could be for Tennessee in the transfer portal.
Yeah, there aren't too many options out there. I've mentioned Aiden Childs, but again, that's a flawed player, talented, but not close to like Ty Simpson and what he's demonstrated.
By the way, Byron Brown just committed to Auburn, so that's not a surprise there, but there's another one where he goes from South Florida and falls goalish to Auburn.
Yeah, and if he wasn't going to, then obviously he's played in this offense, so that would have made sense. And by the way, I've seen some people ask this. I'm sorry, all due respect to Joey Aguilar. Like, if Ty Simpson wants to come play for you, then Joey, you want to be the backup?
Yeah.
You know, or compete? Sure, but that's just – Josh Heupel's not in a position right now to be, you know, rewarding someone for their loyalty. He's got to win.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have you covered all day long here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow here on Robbie and Rex Road.